Hello, and thanks for joining us. You're listening to TaskCam On Air, the official podcast of TaskCam. I'm your host, Sean. Listen along as we explore podcasting, sound design, indie filmmaking, vlogging, recording, and more with a host of legendary TaskCam artists. This week, we're joined by a prolific content creator. From hosting red carpet events to tech talks and tutorials, as well as hosting her own podcast, her footprint in the entertainment realm is a real tour de force. In addition to all that, she's an advocate for representation in all media. Please welcome to the show, Nikki Sun. All right, Nikki, thanks so much for joining us today on TaskCam On Air, the official podcast of TaskCam. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Yeah, anytime. So if for our listeners out there, if they may not know who you are, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like you're best known for being a host, a moderator, interviewer. You do product reviews and tech tutorials. I saw that you're a filmmaker, which I did not know. And then, of course, you are a podcaster as well. Did I miss any steps there or have anything wrong?
No, just a life enthusiast at the end of the day. And you hit it on the head. And ultimately, I'm here to help other people shine and amplify other people's shine. So in doing that, I've been able to partner with a lot of amazing brands and really get involved in the technology space. And so I'm really excited to continue amplifying marginalized voices. So that is my main mission in everything that I do.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Very important work. So that's very cool. With the previous hosts or anybody, or I mean previous hosts, previous guests, if anybody's, you know, listened to this, or if you've listened to this, a lot of times the people that we have on here are strictly audio professionals. And that's not you. Now, audio is a part of your job in and out, through and through, with all these things that you do, but you're not like that. You're not, you know, producing a record and things like that. It seems like you've got a lot of like on-air personality type of things that you do. How did you get started down that path? What led you to that?
In short, representation has always mattered to me. Seeing my face, seeing other faces like mine on the big screen has always been a thing for me. So I kind of got my start in YouTube and being a student journalist. I'm a broadcast student, and I had done journalism at UC Davis, my alma mater, go Aggs, for a while. And it was just really self-taught, self-learned, because I knew graduating college, I wouldn't get picked up by a three-letter acronym news station right away. And it really wasn't news that I wanted to report on. I'm not someone that can weather the sad news of the day. Sometimes I just want to be able to get the message out, but in an informative, but also educational and entertaining way, which is like the three pillars of why you should create content that adds value to people's lives. So that's kind of got where I got my start, because YouTube, there was no parameters on who or what could be broadcasted or shown. You were able to build an authentic, genuine audience. And so I have a huge background in working with a lot of new platforms, learning why that platform would be beneficial for certain types of creators, and just really partnering with them on a more internal and beta level to just see how it would work. And then as a tech educator, I go out now and share what I learn on my time and on my dime, because it's something that's really important, is to really also make technology accessible to a whole group of people, not just the folks that we see on mainstream media. So that was kind of why I started. But throughout that came a lot of interviews with up and coming API or Asia Pacific Islander artists who weren't getting their shine. So I've interviewed anybody from Far East Movement to David So to Michelle Phan, YouTube Guru, Ryan Higa, Kevin Jumba. So I've got my start interviewing a lot of these YouTubers who just blew up. And obviously, when you're interviewing, you need quality audio. So a lot of my audio journey actually came through TaskCam, particularly with the TaskCam DR10L, the TaskCam DR10X, because I was doing a lot of handheld reporting and wanted quality audio without any wireless interference. I also utilized the Zoom H4n. I know they're competitors, so we won't talk about them. But at the same time, just audio has been a huge part. And especially now going around teaching video and audio classes at creator universities such as iJustine's Vlog University, creator programs or the Visual Storytelling Conference or anything with FMC, the upcoming Final Cut Pro Summit, which I'm keynote speaking at next month. A lot of my education is, you know, a lot of people will watch video, but they would rather sit through horrible video than sit through crappy audio. So the one thing I always suggest to content creators, especially in this creator economy days, where if there's one thing you could do to level up your content creation, is really focus on the audio, because nowadays your smartphones already record at a whopping 4K. You don't really need to improve the video, but audio is something that's still not touched upon when it comes to smartphones. And so if you could do one thing to amplify or increase your quality content, I would definitely focus on audio. So that's just kind of where my journey has been. And I'm just really excited that, you know, navigating now into the podcasting world with Messy Sexy Me, we just finished season one. We got to utilize the Tascam Mixcast 4, and the audio that I'm using now is the TM70 microphone and the TH05 headphones. So it's been a really wonderful experience with Tascam.
That's awesome. We'd like to hear that. That's great. I'm glad you're finding success. You, oh my God, you sound so busy with like everything that you're doing. It's crazy. Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Messy Sexy Me podcast, because yeah, you just mentioned that you wrapped up season one, and I did see that. How many episodes did you do total in that first season?
17. And what I hear from podcasters, and you never started a podcast before, so that's, we're super grateful to Tascam for, you know, I had inquired, because I've never entered the podcasting world. And that is something that I always get hit up by brands. They're like, okay, you're going to do a podcast because we have audio equipment. But I'm not going to do a podcast. Everybody in the world and their grandma's creating a podcast. Why should I start a podcast? And then it really was the additional efforts of my two co-hosts, Quincy Pham and Jesse Stafford, where we were on this rooftop one day and we were just sharing deeply vulnerable things and things that I think society considers as taboo, but we don't talk about enough as a society or as women or even for men to get a woman's perspective on things. So we were like, we wish we could invite everybody to come in and like expand this rooftop night charcuterie and wine board. Well, not wine, Quincy would argue champagne. And, you know, we wish we could expand it. So how we do that? We're like, we should start a podcast. And literally the same night, we picked the name, Quincy bought the domain name, and we were like, okay, let's figure this out. And it just so happened that Tascam had launched their playerware, and they had reached out saying like, oh, would you like some playerware? I'm like, first of all, it's dope stuff. I would buy the entire line. Second of all, I just noticed that there's this thing called a Mixcast 4 on your website. I wonder, would that be a really nice way to start a podcast? And it seems like it comes with everything. And it's like, I don't have to source so many different things like the XLR cables or the tabletop stands or, you know, and so I reached out and very grateful to know that they were on board from the get. Like there was no like, please, please, please. It was more like, what do you need? How can we help you to create content? So from not having any experience at all in podcasting, literally 4 months ago, to literally starting a podcast, recording 17 episodes, and also planning a wrap and launch party of our dreams on the rooftop of the Godfrey Hotel in Hollywood, I feel like we've accomplished so much in the 3 months that we've had it. So we're just really excited for season two to pick up in December.
Oh, it's coming. So that's not too far away. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's so your co-hosts, are they friends or were they you know, like professional acquaintances? How did you folks meet?
So Jesse and I had met through the creative route. She is an event planner. And so I had met her through basically the LA circle. And then also Quincy, I met at Jesse's birthday party at Intercrew. And we just hit it off and we had not been able to really hang out. And it was, you know, panorama times and they were trying to get together for my birthday, but my birthday's in January. So that's when the peak of like the COVID reemerged. So we had to keep pushing back our meeting. And so that one meeting on the rooftop, literally in May, was it May? It might have been a little bit before May, but that rooftop meeting was the first time I actually had a full on conversation with Quincy. So I hadn't known her that long, but that was the same night that we decided, let's start a podcast.
Nice. That's cool. Seems like it all came.
We just vibed.
Yeah, there you go. That's all you need. That's all you need. You just got to vibe with somebody.
It's all you need. It's the good energy, you know? And you're like, while we're saying, and we are we span a different age groups and also different experiences with relationships. So I would say it's like we're between the 30 to age 50 range. And so to just have three different perspectives, three different ethnicities. And the beautiful thing about audio is, I know I talk about representation and how it's a very visual thing. That's why I focus so much in the past on video. But I feel like if the general public got to know us, didn't know what we looked like, but still resonate with our words, then we've won. Because then it's like, this is, we what we're sharing is at a level where it is mainstream. It's not like, oh, because, you know, we see color, you know, we don't want to listen to it or you don't resonate. It's like, no, actually audio. That's why our first season was strictly audio. We've been told plenty of times, you got three camera friendly women, like you should do a video. But I'm like, I don't want it to be about that. So we are looking into video for season two, but season one was purely about developing our flow, our energy. We vibe so well. We just turn on the Tazcam Mixcast 4, honestly, press record. We go for an hour, hour and a half, and it's all freestyle. This is purely unscripted. It's to the point where people are like, did you script that? Because you guys flow so well. And I'm like, no, that's why we were on the rooftop and we were talking about it. We were flowing so well. We're like, we need to start a podcast, because there was just like humor and funny moments, but there's moments where we teared up and we just felt so like, got to share this, because I know so many other people feel the way that we do. And so I'm so grateful that, you know, it was the best two women that I could have started a podcast with, and the whole journey of like, no, I'm not gonna do a podcast. It's been really nice to share a different side of me, because I do a lot of tech, but there's so much more to me than just my tech side, and being able to share about my honest feelings about things and the world has been so cathartic and so refreshing for me.
That's incredible. That's good to hear. And I'm assuming, like, what you were talking about, you know, discussing some potentially like taboo topics and things like that. And so, like, I'm assuming that there's a little bit of outreach there where people are, you're like kind of helping and making people feel more comfortable and like they're not alone, or like, oh, I'm not the only one to think in this sort of thing. That's a lot of that happening for you.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're allowed to say on here, but again, talking about taboo topics, I'm just going to say it. So we do talk about relationships, sex, orgasms, dating, like, you know, what should happen in the boardroom and the bedroom. So we definitely go there. There is no like holding back. And also, especially like if, you know, the stereotypes about like Asian women being completely like submissive or quiet or like not talking about certain things, we talk about it. We go there because knowledge is power. And if you don't bring things up because you're afraid to talk about it, you'll never know. And so we are deeply honest with our like level of age range expanding of experiences and how we wish things would have went down. It's even as simple as how men and women communicate, or like how we would like to be courted or like approached at a store. Like if you're hitting on us for a date, like we'll go through like our dating profiles and like tell you exactly what attracted us to your profile. That, so anyways, we feel like we're helping a lot of people, and it's like one of those things where people can feel safe. They can send in their questions. We are really excited to try the dial in feature. We haven't done that yet with the Tazcam Mixcast 4, but we want to, because we're getting questions from a lot of male listeners. And they're asking us, like, how would you women like to be approached, like, wanting some tips? And we get to, like, share that and really help empower our listeners to be like, well, don't do it. This is creepy. Do it this way. You know, and obviously, it's just three perspectives. We don't represent the entire female population. But at the end of the day, we do offer three very real and very different perspectives when it comes to the dating world or relationships or even running our own businesses. So we all have full-time jobs outside of this. So I think a testament to why it's been so successful is we're not just three people saying, let's start a podcast and that's our identity. It's like, no, there's three women who've had their identity for a long time in media, entertainment, marketing, public relations, content creation, event planning, and let's throw them all together, three type A personalities, and let's see what we can make in 3 months' time. That's how this podcast has truly been very successful, I think, in my opinion.
That's cool. Yeah, that's good to hear. Like, I'm glad that guys are messaging you and asking me these questions, because I feel like there's a lot of folks out there that could really tone down the creepiness a little bit on in life. But, Yeah, no, that's incredible. So let me ask you then, let me move on a little bit past the podcasting here. And so for the filmmaking, I saw your directorial debut was Eslo, Love in the Time of COVID.
And, thank you. Yeah.
I watched at least a clip of that was on your website. Was that just a short film or was that like a full like hour, or how long is the actual?
Yeah. So, in the panorama in 2020, it's so funny. I'm a huge believer in manifestation. We actually talk about this a lot in our podcast. So to link it, I have been manifesting that. I've been doing so much behind the scenes, in front of the scenes for other companies, for other productions. I would love to direct something one day. I literally said that at the beginning of 2020. Then obviously panorama happened, which I like to lovingly refer to it as. But in the middle of that, I think in September, I had also needed a new phone too. So I'm just like, it's crazy. So I'm just sharing with your listeners, Sean, that I was manifesting, like, for some crazy reason. I haven't directed anything like officially. I've directed many things in the past, but unofficially, right? So it's like, can I call myself a director if I haven't had an IMDb credit? Or, you know, like, we were talking about imposter syndrome a lot on the podcast too. Like, can I really say I do these things if I don't have it officially on a credit? And you totally can, and you can manifest it. And I was like on my Samsung Galaxy 8 at the time, and I was like thinking, like, should I go for the iPhone? Because as a tech person, I will be transparent. I am a huge Samsung user, but a lot of technology is iPhone first. And so when I get asked to test technology, I'm like, well, unless Apple wants to sponsor me, I really love creating content with my Samsung phone because the quality is just so amazing. So keeping those two things in mind, in September, I get this email asking that Samsung is interested in me. I don't know how they found me, probably social media, but they were asking me if I would be interested in shooting a short film entirely on their brand new phone. That would give me my first director credit. And also, they would pay me for this, and they would let me keep the phone, which is their Samsung Galaxy S20 FE 5G. I know that because obviously as one of their ambassadors for this program, we had to say the full name. So there's a lot of things that come with that. I'm huge on transparency. And my topic that I was personally given, there was four filmmakers selected. So it wasn't like an open call or anything. I was specifically hand selected for this. I was one of four filmmakers. And my topic specifically was love in the time of COVID. And I was laughing really hard because out of everybody in that group, I think I was the single one. So I was like, okay, this is going to be very interesting for my POV. I put out a call in my social media friends and realized that my two subjects, Paulo and Esther, recent friends of mine that I met actually through an ex-boyfriend of mine, which is so funny, reached out saying, like, I didn't know if you know this, but if you're looking for a love story in the time of COVID, we met during COVID and we're engaged now. And I'm like, yes, I would love to tell your story because I would hate to be responsible for telling a story for a newly relationship couple and then they break up. Like, I just don't want that on my conscience. So I was like, oh, great. There is some kind of permanence here. So let's do this. And Paul is actually from Brazil. And Esther is in Los Angeles, but they are of Korean descent. So it just turned out that my goals of representation, seeing a main love story, just everything came together in that moment. And that's why this short film has meant so much to me, about telling a love story the way that I see it in modern day America. They both happen to be of Asian descent, but to me, that is modern. To see two Asian leads, that is modern. Those are my everyday friends. So it really meant a lot to have such culture within that, and talk about food that they naturally cook, like tteokbokki, and make that regular. Like, that's part of everyday culture. It's not like it doesn't have to be pasta or certain things. Like, it was specifically to their culture without making it a thing. I didn't need to make it a whole thing. And so Samsung also partnered with Pop Sugar, Dodo Bird, and Thrillist. And I happened to be under the Pop Sugar banner. So they did this whole virtual film festival online, and I got to finally invite my family and friends to showcase another side of me, because I think a lot of people see me as the on-camera personality, the host, but at the end of the day, I love telling stories, and I like to do it in any medium possible. So to really share, like, oh, I also direct, and I also film, and I also edit, and have them see it on such a level with Samsung and Pop Sugar was like so insanely incredible. And doing a 20-minute Q&A with them before I debut the film in front of everybody else to really speak on why it matters to me to have shot a film like this, and to also let creators know that you don't need the most expensive gear to create film and tell a story. You can do that with the thing that you have in your pocket, which is your phone. Like, it was just everything that embodied like my mission and what I stand for in that one moment. So yeah, that is in my bio, because it was one of the most important projects that I've done so far in my short career.
Yeah. So with that, are you going to segue into making more films like this? Is that something you're interested in and planning on doing?
I mean, I definitely hoped so. I think this was a great start because, you know, a feature film would be amazing. I think also just telling a story would be amazing. I have so many of my own personal stories that I have yet to like write down. So I'm just saying, maybe I'm manifesting this on your show, Sean, but I'm manifesting like my next project will be an even bigger project where I can bring on a team, bigger budget, and, you know, it'd be nice to have it fully sponsored, but I'd love to be able to direct a feature one day. But I think before I get there, the way that I break it down in my mind to not make it so overwhelming is like, well, it's basically like 20 short films pieced together. I'm like, okay, I can break it down. They're like, then tackling this huge 1.5 hour, you know, beast of a thing. And, yeah, or maybe even doing a music video. So I think I'd love to direct a music video too, but also tell a story within that music video. I think maybe that's like the next thing for me before tackling the feature. But that is something on the back burner right now in being able to direct something like that. I'm still very heavily focused on the tech side. I do a live show every Tuesday at 7 to talk about technology, and it's more educational than selling you products. But it's been really wonderful, and I brought on like an editor finally so I can break down my live streams to put more of my educational content out there. So I'm just trying to take over the world, Sean, in every media sense possible, whether it's a podcast, video director, host, like you name it. I just want to be involved with all technology and also really open doors for other people like me.
Nice. It sounds like you're well on your way to domination of the whole world with all this. I mean, my goodness. Well, so your tech live stream, is that across all social media platforms or just YouTube, or how do you break that up?
So it's actually on Amazon, but oh. I have a really cool product device called the YoloBox Pro. It's a multi-channel camera encoder that allows you to stream up to 3 platforms at the same time for free. But encoder is not free, obviously, but there's so much that comes with the YoloBox Pro that I utilize. So beyond going live to Amazon, I also go live on my YouTube channel, Technicky Speaking, and also my Facebook page, Technicky Speaking. And by the way, for those of you who do not get dad jokes, Technicky Speaking is my name, but also a playoff of the pun Technically Speaking. So that's my channel name.
Gotta love a good
Sean pun. Just got it.
Gotta love. No, I did. I just didn't expect to get the full breakdown of that. Just
there's a lot of people who don't know what that means, and they're trying to pronounce it. But the moment I tell them, like, "Oh, Technicky Speaking, I get it now." I'm like, "Okay, great, yeah, you know." But the people who get it before that, like, you're my people. But yeah, I do that every Tuesday. It's from like 7 to 8, and I've always wanted to do this and share my knowledge of tech, but I also was like, how do I do it in an easy way? And so when Amazon started this live stream thing, for the most part, I could link about 90% of the technology and the gear that I utilize for other people if they're interested in having the same exact setup as me, same exact live stream setup, or what I utilize when I go on shoots to do mobile content creation, or, you know, my live stream setup. Like, they're all there, the list is all there, but what I like to do is I turn it into an hour of educational like theme. So I'll have like a whole live stream, and like, join me today, I'm going to talk about my live stream setup. So literally it's like all the products, it's in my carousel. People don't have to guess. It supports my channel at no extra cost to the consumer if they plan to purchase anything, but I really don't focus on the selling. I don't need to. What I want to do eventually is know that whatever I'm talking about in these live streams, I could break it down and create other content for free that gets placed on my YouTube in shorter bite-sized pieces. So I'm just trying to figure out the best way to get my content out there. And like you, Sean, I feel like my channel is very meta because I have a channel where creators come to learn how to better and level up their channel. So it's been a, kind of like a re-driving my purpose, my why from being an on-camera host, but hopefully resonating with those who might have been intimidated by technology, and hopefully seeing more women talking on camera about technology and gear and products and not being so intimidated by that and just going forth. Like, I'm one of hopefully many others that will be able to embrace technology and realize that it's okay to like technology. You're not a nerd for it. And to see more women in the field, I think that would increase a lot more visibility when it comes to convention shows like NAB and CES or Cinegear Expo, and just really see women as the creators who they are versus talent or makeup artists. And no offense if you are, it's just, I want to see women directors. I want to see women filmmakers. I want to see women editors. And you know, just again, increase representation and diversity in all levels, because that is truly a reflection of the actual world that we live in. Yeah. To just hear stories from different perspectives.
Absolutely, I really do love that perspective and what you're trying to do with that. I started off as a. Obviously, we're talking about you, but I'm going to relate here for a second. So I started off.
Please.
I started off my professional career as a musician and an audio engineer in recording studios, and. In recording studios in this country, the people overwhelmingly look like me, and I come from a diverse spot, and there are not a lot of women in audio. And there's a whole thing. I don't know if you're familiar with Women's Audio Mission, but like that's something I advocate for a whole lot. Like, it needs to be more diverse to get. I don't know. It just needs to be there. And I really like that you're doing that. And I've got some friends in a band that are doing the same thing. And like, I really do like hearing that. And there needs to be more representation. And I mean, it's just, this is a middle-aged white guy saying this, but I mean, like, I mean,
no, that's but something we appreciate you because
I love that.
It takes people like you, like the majority like you, to really create a platform and allow us to speak, allow us to have a platform to speak. So I want to say thank you to you, Sean, because a lot of times when I'm in this field and I share my story, there's so many male allies that want to help, and I appreciate it so much. But just knowing that you are down for the cause, that you understand that there's an issue, that you understand that there's a lack of representation, that's already step one. So providing platforms, allowing other women like me to speak, that already does so much. So just letting you know that you're part of you're part of creating the change that we need to see. And it takes like anywhere from, you know, giving me time and space on your platform to like just like connecting me or opening a door. Like, if everybody did that, if every person in the majority did that, like we're really well on our way. So it's not for me to be like, let's attack like the white man or whatever. Not about that. It's more about like, how can we work with our allies and really give them a reason to support and understand that this is actually going to be beneficial for everybody involved. Like, we don't want to take your jobs. If anything, I feel like we have so much to add to the palette that you've already created. And so I hope we're able to like get the message across like that.
I might cut this out right here, but I felt really weird about that segment just then. Like, I just hijacked your message, and I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. And don't thank me. Thank yourself. You're absurdly talented and creative, and that's why you're here. And I don't know. I feel very weird about just everything that just happened.
We talk about this in our podcast. Be willing to receive, but no, really.
I need to listen.
I think it's
more.
Important. No, but yeah, it's no. Really, it takes people like you to widen the conversation. So I appreciate you for that. So people need to know that.
Okay. All right. Yes. So anyway, I definitely feel very bizarre about that. Anyway, so let's move on. Get past my uncomfortable whatever that just happened. Goodness. Anyways, but yeah, it really is mind blowing. Like all the things you do, and like you know, I don't know if you list your webpage out there for people to go to, but I mean, all of the things that you have listed there, there's so much stuff that you're doing. And like you said, world domination or take over the world or whatever. And like, that's absolutely true. Like you're doing so much and it's all very cool. It looks great. It sounds great. It's put together well. If there are any, you know, younger people out there or middle-aged or older people out there who really love what you do and think that that's something that gets them excited and they'd like to, you know, move into any of these realms, what do you have any sort of advice for them or anything, tips, tricks, anything of the sort?
Yeah. You know, when I get invited to share a lot, it's, you know, it's never really about the gear or like it's really redefining your purpose, finding your why. I know that's like grossly overstated and it's too cliche at some point, but I think in finding your why, remain authentic to yourself is the number one thing that I preach everywhere that I go, because especially with things that are fast changing or everything is social media and like you tend to compare yourself to everybody's highlight reel, which is again, that's what is in social media. So be careful like to not compare yourself to other people's highlight reels. There are a lot of hardships and obstacles that you go through, but remaining true to your why and your authenticity, like, you know, I never did this to become famous. And, you know, at the same time, I never show for it. I don't have a million subscribers or followers, but yet I am making a decent living doing exactly what I'm doing. And I get to have so much fun being able to play with multiple pieces of media and really connect with so many people that align with my mission. So that's truly what I stand for. And I might not be a millionaire or like have a million subscribers, but that is me personally. That is my truth. That is my why and my passion. If one person can come across my video and be like, I learned something, or you inspired me to start my own channel, I feel like I've done my job. So that to me is truly where I get my happiness from and what I contribute success to. So everybody has a different what they want to gain, what they want to succeed or achieve in life. But my biggest thing in everything that applies to all things, whether or not you want to do exactly what I'm doing or not, is just to really remain true to yourself and be authentic, because someone eventually in this very media savvy world will find you and they will resonate with you, and they're going to give you a chance, and you got to be ready for that opportunity. So it's just really head down, like work on yourself, work on the content you truly want to create. I mean, when I first started any channel, when I first started a podcast, when I first started tech, we didn't have capital to back it off, but the capital came after. So do what you love first, the money will follow after. I truly believe in that. And for me, when I wanted to create tech, I started a tech channel just basically doing videos off of the tech I already owned. And then I was realizing I shouldn't just base it off products because they become obsolete. Let me talk about concepts, like how to set up a film like interview. So it doesn't matter what product you have, you can utilize that video and apply it to anything. So again, just really, I know it's like there's tangibles that I always leave people with too. So like if you are trying to become like a influencer or content creator, like I definitely have like sessions on how to create your own media kit, how to reach out to brands, how to start making money and profiting off of the creative work that you do, because, you know, exposure doesn't pay the bills. I like to tell people that exposure kills. Too much exposure to the sun can kill you. So with my creators out there, know your value, know your worth, know what you provide when you're working with these companies who are basically utilizing your content as their marketing tools. And if they're making money off of it and not giving you a cent, you really need to rework your contract. Anytime you see a contract in perpetuity, cross that out, because that means forever. And you know, case in point, Simu Liu, like star of Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, he did a stock shoot for $100 and he signed it in perpetuity. So his face is still plastered all over buses as like the engineer or like the school. And like, it's so weird to see that bus juxtaposition next to Marvel's Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings Simu. So it's just, listen, watch out for your contracts. It might be a good deal for you at the time, but honestly, you got to make those deals for yourself. And you're going to know that when you know your true self. So that's why, again, authenticity, finding out why you really want to do it, that is your North Star. That will guide you in everything through your contracts, through the deals that make you feel icky. Like, there's so many deals. I've probably turned down like six figures in deals because it was not true to me. Some people would say that's crazy, but I can sleep at night knowing that what I do in this world and in this life, I am proud of. My integrity is there. I never have to have a sleepless night knowing like, oh my gosh, what if this comes to bite me back in the butt? And it's like, you know, blackmailing me, you know, so I never have to think about that. So a free conscience at the end of the day is peace. And if it costs you your peace, it's too expensive.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's all very great advice. Well, okay. So I'm going to wind this down here because I mean, you're so in demand. You have another podcast scheduled after this. So I don't want to take up a whole bunch of your time. But I want to ask you two last things. Want to promote your socials on here. And also, do you have any sort of upcoming projects that you're super excited about that you'd like to promote on here as well?
Well, thank you, Sean. Well, everything is NikkiSun.com that you can find my portfolio. But just please, I beg of you, spell my name correctly. I had the unfortunate incident of if you spell it the normal way with two K's, it's actually an adult entertainer. And I do a very different kind of entertainment.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it's very unfortunate. But make sure you spell it N-I-C-K-I, just like Nicki Minaj. NikkiSun.com, like the sun in the sky, too. So everything you'll find from my links, you'll find my portfolio, my on-camera work, my off-camera work. Everything is kind of broken down in that area. I do have a live show every Tuesday. I have two different Instagrams. So I have NikkiSun, my whole brand identity as the media production company. But technically speaking, is a subsidiary brand where everything I do is just purely about tech. And if you want to work with me, just reach out. Everything is listed on my website. And the upcoming thing that I'm really excited about is I've always wanted to teach at a broader level. So I'm looking into possibly designing an online course, but it's been trying to find the right platform that doesn't make it feel so icky. Uh-huh. but I would love to be able to give one-on-one help directly and create something as personal as possible without making it feel like, you know, I got six Ferraris, so you should follow my plan. You know, like that's very old school now. Like, it's so old school now. But in order to get my message out, because I'm only one person, I'm trying to work with a certain platform that would have everything that I want, like very personal communication, like custom plan, like, because it's not a one size fits all. Right. Even choosing a camera that you use is not a one size fits all. I get asked that question every day about like, what camera should I buy? I'm like, well, it's not a one size fits all question. What are you using it for? What is it at the end of the day is your goal? So I can talk forever about that. But then I'm also going to be going on tour with the Future Media Concepts in partnership with Apple, actually, to teach a Final Cut Pro Summit. So just like Adobe Premiere Pro, you know, Apple has this amazing video editing program that I've been using since my student broadcasting days, which is Final Cut Pro. And they're doing a world tour and teaching folks and getting people like certified. And so I hope to be a certified Apple Final Cut Pro instructors. But my first one is I'm kicking off the Final Cut Tour Summit in New York City, November 3rd. So if you're in the area, would love to meet you. I'm actually giving the keynote speech at the November 3rd conference, and you'll get to also learn how you can be credentialed and get your certified Final Cut video editing certificate as well. And you can continue teaching and make money teaching too. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving is I realize how much it's important for me in my career to really teach on media and media ethics and sensitivities. Like, that's something I've always wanted to do. So later on in my life, I do want to become like a professor of media, but like, make it like new, like make it new school. Like, there's so many things now in film school or like media or school that is not really applicable to today's times. And I always wanted to make sure that I had a full resume before I taught students, because it's like you respect your professors more who have done the work, right, you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, let me do all this stuff first. And then like at the very end, let me teach. So this is allowing me to teach while I'm still doing stuff and teaching a program that has been near and dear to my heart. So besides using audio from Tascam, like video editing with Apple has been like another thing that I've been wanting to do. And so again, speaking manifestation, I've always wanted to like get connected with someone from the Apple team, and now I am. So nice.
Yeah,
we'll see. Maybe I will get the iPhone soon.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right. Well, again, Nikki, thank you so much for joining us here. We appreciate it. Love hearing about your journey and all the awesome things that you're doing and getting into. It sounds fantastic. And we just wish you luck on all of that good stuff.
Well, thank you so much, Sean, for having me and giving me space today to share my story. I really appreciate it. And thank you to Tascam for always hooking me up with such sweet audio gear that allows my productions to sound amazing. You didn't pay me for that, but I said it anyways.
That's right. No, we did not pay for that. Yeah, that's anyways, we appreciate it. You're a much loved part of the family at Tascam. So that's cool to hear. So anyways, thanks. And we'll circle back around like next year or something, see what you're up to or whatever.
Yeah, sounds great.